Welcome to the Dr. April Jasper Show, relevant conversations for business owners of today. We are thrilled to have CooperVision as a sponsor of our show. CooperVision is a global leader in contact lenses, serving eye care professionals and lens wearers in over 130 countries with the widest range of prescription options. CooperVision can be trusted to have a contact lens that meets your vision, lifestyle, and budget needs. From 1 day to 1 month replacement lenses, there are lenses for most prescriptions in any lifestyle or budget. CooperVision brings us the first and only soft contact lens designed for myopia control and FDA approved to slow the progression of myopia in age-appropriate children. Thank you to CooperVision for living your mission to provide innovative products to help millions of people see better each day. Welcome back, everyone. I have a special treat for you today. I'm so excited, Michael, to have you here with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure and honor.
And I think people are going to be able to tell when they watch this. One of us has had a lot more experience behind a microphone.
It's my first podcast.
Oh.
So I'm half kidding, but I was so excited to be part of your podcast, which you're doing a wonderful job
with.
Oh,
thank you. So Michael knows. So this is Michael Williams, by the way. He is I'm going to tell him my story about you.
Okay.
But he's a reporter, anchor for a local television station, but he's been doing this for a very long time. So he's been all over the world. He's covered he's covered events that I think bring sadness to our hearts, and I'm certain there are a lot of really fun ones as well. But you've had a lot of experience really just getting in the middle of what's going on in the world.
I've been very blessed. I've been in broadcast journalism, now multimedia journalism, for 43 and a half years now. So it's like, wow, that goes by in a hurry as you look back on it. Came out of the University of Florida in 1980. Even as a youngster, I started keeping up with the news.
Wow.
I remembered about 9 to 11 years old, Mom and Dad said, boy, you kind of keep up with what's going on in the newspaper. And then back then, we were a Walter Cronkite family at home. And I just had an interest in news.
Yep.
And so I knew when I went into college what I wanted to do. I was lucky that way. I knew I'd go into broadcast journalism and a minor in economics, which my professors always just say was very minor. I didn't have enough calculus for it. I never forget. Came out of school and immediately out of UF, I got on the bus, went to Fort Pierce, Florida. Some people in the Florida region, Southeast Florida region, will remember a little TV station there, WTVX, CBS affiliate, there 2 years, went to Cincinnati, then went to Miami, where I spent 27 years. Two of those, though, I was up in Washington working for the National Stations Group, so we did stories for
Wow.
the whole country. And then came back to Miami, got a call out of the blue 13-plus years ago. The longtime anchor man at WPTV Channel 5 in West Palm Beach was retiring after 33 years. I said, would you be interested in being the co-anchor with the lovely lady, Kelly Dunn? And so the rest is history. Been up in this region. Of course, it's one, as you know, big, giant region here.
Yeah.
From Palm Beach County, our treasure coast here in Florida, down to Broward and Miami-Dade. But been covering it and have been blessed with a wonderful, fun career.
And your husband, father, a grandpa.
Yes, my biggest pride, of course, been married for 34 years, a lovely wife, Lisa, who's a longtime producer in Channel 7. You've had a chance to meet her. Three lovely daughters, of whom we're both so proud, have had daddy and mom wrapped around their fingers. And now my brand new grandson, our first grandchild, Austin, has granddad and grandma really wrapped around his finger. So
as he should, yes.
And we are very, very blessed, and truly mean that when I say blessed. We've been blessed from above, far beyond our measure.
Oh, I love it. And I knew that about you when I met you. So I met Michael at the Hope Ride.
Yeah.
And some of you have heard about that. That is the Hope Ride for Freedom that David participates in. And they ride 300 miles in 3 days to raise money.
Yeah.
To help victims of human trafficking.
Yeah.
And so you showed up.
So inspirational, that ride.
Yeah.
Wow. And it was a pleasure meeting you. I met you all at the end of that ride. And I had begun, when I came up here, when we moved up from Miami, a friend of mine said, oh, you ought to go ride with this group out of Juneau Beach, Florida. And one thing led to another. And I met wonderful gentlemen who said, would you be interested in your role, perhaps giving us some coverage to this great effort? And, of course, where I currently work, we were so honored to be part of that. First of all, for the importance of the ride, the fight against human trafficking, such an urgent, important need, and their passion for that so powerful. So that was first and foremost a great honor to do that. Secondly, I was so in awe because a lot of the people I was riding with rode 300 miles from Jacksonville back to Palm Beach County, Florida here. And I only rode 65 miles. I met them up in Fort Pierce, Florida, rode back, and I thought that was a good riding day, 65 miles. These guys have been riding forever. I said, you want to go more? I said, no, I think 65 will do it. But a great, great group for a great cause. And in some ways, in microcosm, that's what has been the great joy and honor of my career, being able to tell people stories about important issues, nothing more important than that, or to talk about their joys, or to collectively, as journalists, hope we put our arms around their shoulders sometimes as a community when we're going through tough times together as a community. But through all of that, that's why I said, I come back to that word. I've really been blessed to have the opportunity to get to know people, to get to tell their stories, to laugh with them, sometimes choke back tears with them. But the highs, the lows, and everything in between. So it's something that, you know, you look at your life and say, why did I end up doing what I'm doing? And I feel very fortunate that this was my little tiny gift that in a small way could be part of that bigger conversation that goes on in our community and the world.
Well, Michael, you've had a chance to bring those stories to people in a way that could have been just news. And I hope you don't take that the wrong way, or they can be life-changing. And you are the one that makes them life-changing. So I can tell that about you. I look at your past. I mean, you've won 9 Emmys. Mm-hmm. And one award that's really just the biggest accomplishment you could ever have in your career. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, we of course, any 9 Suncoast Regional Emmy Awards for a variety of different reporting, from education issues to environment to documentaries. I did in Africa with a friend of mine from the Miami Zoo, a dear lifelong friend. Kerry Sanders led our coverage in the mid-90s when there was ongoing upheaval in Haiti. I was part of that hour-long documentary that was led by Kerry Sanders, who went on to be a 30-year NBC correspondent, one of my dearest friends. I was one of the reporters. I was over there, as I recall, 2.5-3 weeks. And then we had other teams rolling in. And again, it was a story about massive upheaval in a part of the world, Haiti, not really that terribly far from where we sit right now, but people who were bereft of everything, the things you and I take for granted every day, running water, the ability to take care of our children, stability, anything you take for granted is a fight every single day there. And this was in the mid-90s. They're currently going through more upheaval with gang violence there. And so you are changed by those stories, and the ability to help tell that story, and perhaps people who then want to donate to try and help the cause of helping those people back, whether it was the 1990s when there was the return to democracy. I was there when Jean-Bertrand Aristide came back after he'd been ousted in a coup, which I covered. We flew over late one night in the early 90s after he'd been tossed out of power. Scary situation for so many people there. But to come back and cover that, then after the earthquake in 2010, I did not go for that coverage to Haiti, but to be part of a community where you could at least help tell the stories that would motivate many people at home say, I want to help. Yes. So those for me have been the most satisfying stories, to try and help people, sometimes at very difficult times, all of us to try and get a handle on what had just happened, whether it was Haiti or when I covered the aftermath of 9/11. I went to New York immediately after 9/11. I was there for a few weeks. We had to drive all the airplanes, as you remember, they shut down air traffic. And, that was
that one of your awards as well?
Well, that was no, that wasn't a award per se. No, not that. But
so you got there 2 days after?
Yeah, we drove up from Miami. So no, those you know, I still brings tears to, and the Haiti story does too. So many of these stories, Haiti, Parkland. You show up and you're trying to help people make sense out of something that makes no sense.
Right.
And you're human too, and you have to choke back your emotions all the time. But you hope that whether you're literally or figuratively putting your arms around people and trying to explain at least what's going on, that there's some sense of community that you've helped bring to that story, some sense of understanding and a shared compassion Does that make sense?
It does, yeah.
And you hope you do that in your career. And again, it's not all tough stories. Sometimes it's been fun stories covering rocket launches up at the Cape,
yes.
World Series victories, or youngsters doing great things. Some of my favorite stories are people who would not typically be newsmakers who are doing wonderful things in our community that inspire us, and you're laughing with them and you're rooting them on. So I don't mean to say that it's just these big portentous stories. It's a lot of fun. And that's what's been fun. You cover the whole arc of things.
Right. That's good.
From great fun. I got to fly with the Blue Angels in my career, and that was fun. And things
did you faint?
Well, the second time in an F-18, my dad and brother, my dad was is a retired naval carrier aviator, my brother Air Force. So the second time I flew, at the very end, he said, "We're going to do a super high G turn." And at about 8.5 G's, you feel your vision graying out. And it grayed out. And the next thing I hear, you awake back there? And I had grayed out, blacked out for just a second. I did use it on air. I could have cut that out, but I used that clip. And I said, I am never going to live this down with my dad and brother.
Oh, so I can find this somewhere.
Yeah. And sure enough, I never have lived it down. But I do point out it was at the end of the flight with the Blue Angels, and it was only in my memory. Do you ever wake up if you're traveling or something? For a minute,
where am I?
That was the moment. But I was in the back of a F-18 Hornet doing about 300 knots over Homestead, Florida, out over the ocean when I woke up and kind of, But anyway, so it's been a fun career. It's been one that I've had a lot of pleasure. And
we are grateful to have Ocusoft as a sponsor of our show. Since 1986, Ocusoft has served the community with a unique selection of proprietary brands, from dry eye care and protection with Retain line of artificial tears to eyelid hygiene with Ocusoft Lid Scrub Eyelid Cleansers, essential for maintaining healthy eyes. Zoria Skincare from Ocusoft offers revolutionary products for people with sensitive skin and eyes. Thank you to Ocusoft for being the number one doctor-recommended brand of eyelid cleansers and providing patients and doctors with products and supplies to continue to keep our eyes healthy.
I think the important thing, too, for me has been in my career, we always tried to teach our children this, too, is to me personally, if you're going to have a career where I've been able to go see a lot of different things and you don't have a profound sense of how blessed you are, that the good Lord has blessed me and my family, that we are blessed as a family and a community, especially when you compare to what so many people in this world go through. And if you don't have an appreciation for that and a humility about that, then why do what you do, at least? And I'm speaking just for myself. Yeah. And that's something that's helped keep me grounded for my entire adult life, at least I hope.
Your stories are inspirational, but your life story is as well. I would love for you to share, Michael, give us one or two more stories that really just stand out to you. I mean, one day you'll probably retire. You've been doing this a while.
A long while.
And I've encouraged Michael to never retire. Just change maybe from being where he's at today to somewhere else where he continues to tell stories. So I think you will.
Well, I think I will. And I'm not saying this because I'm just sitting here. I really mean this from the bottom of my heart. People like you give me inspiration, because I love the fact that we're in a world now that a lot more people can tell their stories.
Yes.
Look at the inspiration you give people every day, helping them maintain or restore their sight, or making them feel like there are options that can help them live a fuller life.
Yep.
So all of us have a chance, whether we're a doctor, candlestick maker, as the story goes, the baker on the corner, run a grocery store, whether it's my wonderful gentleman who helps maintain our landscaping where I work or at home. I always look for those kind of people and stories. And I'm often, they always say God draws straight with crooked lines. And I often find that in the people you meet, sometimes you say, I was so lucky to meet them. So whether it's being inspired by you, where you now have a voice with your podcast, it got me to think, you know, that'd be something fun and interesting to do. And I love the variety of voices. Perhaps many of you out there are doing podcasts too, where you're able to, in ways that you never perhaps fully appreciate or understand, and it can be one thing you say, bring inspiration to people. So that's been a great pleasure for me, and I do want to continue that. And I want to do some teaching as I begin to segue out of television and multimedia news, and do environment is important. Yeah. Is something I've always had a passion for and have been able to do some really neat stories. But I draw my inspiration, and I've been lucky that way. So whether it's meeting somebody like Dr. April Jasper, or whether it's meeting people who would not otherwise, in your case, you already have a high profile, but meeting people whose stories you say, wow, they've got such courage, they've got such strength, they've got such passion, they've got such joy. That's the neat thing. And I don't want to lose that. So I want to stay connected to that and do storytelling in a different way. And I think modern technology, look where we're sitting now. We could not be doing this 10 or 15 years ago. We could not be doing it.
We're in our house, by the way.
A very well set up studio. I'm taking pointers from them. They're far more expert than me at this. So I think that's neat. And I know that you do too.
Thank you. Yeah, we love it. We, again, our goal is to be inspirational and to be educational as well, which you said both of those things are what you want to do down the road. I want to get back to the Space Coast.
Oh, that's one of my passions.
I know you love the whole area. You love what they're doing. Tell us how that all began.
As a little boy, we lived in Sanford, Florida, near the Naval Air Station.
Wow.
Wherever Dad was, that's where he'd be. So from 61 to 68, as the Mercury, Gemini, and Apollo program were really in high gear, I never forget, our little home in Sanford, Florida, looked east over a tiny lake. And so as the crow flies, the Cape's, 40, 45 miles, perhaps?
Yep.
And we had our little black and white TV, and you could look out our sliding glass door. And so when the rockets would launch, you'd see them on our little black and white TV, and then you'd see them coming up over the horizon.
Wow.
And man, I thought that was so neat. I thought my dad's career being around aircraft was so neat. So I've always had a passion and love for that as long as I can remember. And then we had moved to the next air base in Georgia by the time we actually went to the moon. But I remember sitting there again with our little black and white TV. I'm dating myself here. They had black and white TVs then. But sitting there when Neil Armstrong took the first step on the moon, my mom brought me a little bowl of ice cream. I vividly remember that.
Wow.
My dad and I would follow the launches from start to finish. And so one thing led to another. And it was always my curiosity about wanting to meet those kind of people, I think, led me to the work. And so as I got into my career, I began to get to that point. By the time I got into my career, it was shuttle launches. And I began to get to cover the shuttle program, cover a number of shuttle launches, both day and the beautiful night launches. And at one point, I got to go aboard a shuttle that,
oh my goodness.
not in space, got to go aboard a shuttle they were working on in the hangar, the giant vehicle assembly building. And the Kennedy Space Center director said, would you like to take a look inside? Like we almost knocked him over. We're like, yes. Got to meet Buzz Aldrin when John Glenn went back to space. He'd gone in February of 62, the first American to orbit the Earth. And then when he went back in the late 90s, such a huge crowd. Reporters were crying as the shuttle launched. It was so inspiring. And Buzz Aldrin, the second man on the moon, standing right there.
How can
you not love your career? You're so honored to talk to these people.
Yeah.
So a lot of fun. Covered some sad times too, obviously, after Columbia. Yeah, I was in Washington at the time, got a call that day. As I recall, I think somebody in my household, as my memory serves, yelled for me to come downstairs and the Columbia tragedy. And so I covered some back-to-flight missions. I immediately went to Houston covering that. So the highs and lows of the program. But you get to meet neat people. And you know, I try and maintain that joy. I hope I have.
You are.
That I come
You're
across like
joyful.
A little kid sometimes, I guess. But
I
think you have to maintain that. Because the minute you don't, and I don't care what you do. This is what I do. And I'm blessed to have, I hope, that little bit of that gift. You're blessed. Your medical knowledge to be a great doctor. I'm a huge believer in life that we all have our gifts. And that we all interact with each other with our gift. Whatever it is. And to me, they're all equal. Because I have people bring me joy, and you don't have to be working to do that. I don't mean to imply that. But my point is I always look for that in life. But I always think that the one ingredient I see, and I'm sure you would agree, is that you have to have inspiration, a true inspiration and passion for that work, or otherwise it becomes work. And I don't think you do anything for a long, long time if it's just you're kind of doing a 9-to-5. Yeah. It's just, quote, work. You have to have some inspiration for it, whatever that may be. That's my feeling, and I suspect you share it.
Yeah, there must have been times, though, Michael, like when you covered Hurricane Andrew, where you were just so sad, and it was such a hard story to cover, and you lived in Miami at the time. How did you get past the sadness and bring back that inspiration? Tell us about that.
Well, I think you have to grit your teeth a lot at times. South Miami-Dade was destroyed, and people from all over the state, I remember people from Palm Beach County bringing supplies down. Eventually, they said, listen, we just need money because of supplies. It was at first understandably disorganized. Finally, the U.S. military came in. under then President Bush to kind of coordinate the effort. We remember seeing choppers flying over. We lived in North Dade. We were not hit badly where I live. We were out of power for a week. That was no big deal. Maybe a little longer, but no big deal at all. It was South Dade that had been destroyed. So, you know, you felt every day that you were trying to help tell people's stories so that that would help enlist help for their needs. And as a reporter and then reporters, and an army of reporters were there for stories like that, you like to hope. And I do believe that helped make a difference.
Yep.
And so through the very sad moments of that, you try and hold on to that as best you can.
Yep. What about, so there's a lot of doctors that listen to this podcast. We also have a lot of people in other professions as well. Mm. But for the eye doctors that are listening, that sometimes get discouraged with the everyday work. And I know you're probably thinking, how in the world could you ever get discouraged because of what you do? And that's what I try to tell them is we help people see. There's nothing discouraging about that.
Awe-inspiring work to me.
But there's times when it's just, you know, you deal with insurance companies, you have to deal with unhappy patients, it's not all perfect. So what would you say to them, Michael, in all the times you've talked to so many people, so many professions, and I bet the encouragement you would give them is the same. What are your words of wisdom as we sort of wrap up?
Well, I don't know how wise they are, but I think for all of us can get caught up in what I call the drudgery part, having to take care of the bills, run the office. In the case of you and your colleagues who are doing such wonderful work with people dealing with, whether it's the insurance companies or headaches, and then away from work, you've got to pay the bills at home, fix the leaky roof, you have a bad day. Yeah. None of us are perfect. I guess what I always say to myself, and we all have that, and that's why I said I think a fundamental passion for what you do has carried me through that. And I do try and remind myself, I had an old friend of mine when I was a young reporter and I was having a bad day at work and the story had not gone well and it's very competitive and somebody had an angle I didn't have on a story. Remember this as a young reporter. And he said, Michael, he said, it's okay to have a bad day. And it's also okay though, quietly and with humility to, you know, once a day or once a week, go in front of the mirror and say, you know what, I am bringing value to people's lives. I am doing work that's important. What I do matters. And I always, always say to people, no matter what job they're in, what their avocation is, you just never, never know. And I know that some people say, well, this is Pollyannish, but I happen to believe it very deeply.
It's the truth.
I believe with all my heart, you never know that little pebble in the pond that you changed one patient's life. Maybe they don't call you and tell you, but they go on and they have a much more fulfilling life. And because they have a more fulfilling life because of the work you and your colleagues do, that little stone in the pond, that little pebble in the pond goes out. And I'm a huge, huge, huge believer in that because I'm fortunate in my work that sometimes years later, my example, one of them is I'll have young reporters come up to me who I mentored when they were at the University of Florida. And I had one come up to me 10 or 12 years later, say, you said something, which I of course don't recall what it was, but it was just enough that it inspired me to do this. So I always say to people through all the tough parts, and I know what you all do is such important work, but it's okay to say, you know what, I am making a difference and in ways that I may never know, but I am improving lives and I'm making a difference in my world. And if you hold on to that passion and believe it, and I do, and I know you do, I think that's the difference maker. It has been for me.
Michael, you are amazing. Your grandson is so blessed to have you in his life, and Lisa,
well,
of course.
I'm blessed. We're blessed. But
thank
you.
And your daughters, they have all of these stories that they can go back and see for years to come. I mean, it's a big deal what you've done.
Yeah, and well, it's a big deal what you do, and it's a big deal what everybody does.
It does. You're right.
And so, but thank you. I'm tremendously grateful for the invitation to be here.
And one day when you start a podcast,
you're going to be my guest.
Yay!
You're already booked. You're already booked. No, tremendously. Thanks to you and your audience. What an absolute pleasure for me.
Thank you, guys. I know you have loved Michael Williams listening to him today. And if you want to see some of those stories, they're still out there. That's the beauty of the big internet.
Yeah.